Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you since 1997 on KKUP Radio with over 250 guests and still going strong in their 12th year of weekly broadcasting, the International Taz and Paula Show brings to you expansive, engaging, and groundbreaking intensity on radio and now on the internet airwaves today. Listen live every Thursday or visit Embracing Mother Earth's archives, exclusive articles, ask questions, and receive actual answers from guests anytime at TazandPaulaShow.com. Taz and Paula's special guests are experts coming from all walks of life, energizing our lives with a passion that inspires and teaches us with each of their compelling personal life journeys, with roots from ancient wisdom and bridging it with modern science. We hope today's show touches the wisdom of your heart. And now, Taz and Paula.
Good morning. This is Paula Nunes.
And this is Taz Powers. Our guest is Jason Lean. Jason, our listeners know you through our previous interviews, where we have discussed many aspects of your international work with Archangel Michael. But you are here with us today to share a completely different part of your life, the publication of your new children's book, Andrew's Wish.
Well, congratulations, Jason, on your new beautiful book. The colors are just fantastic. And what inspired you to undertake something so different from the other work that you've done?
Well, you know, first of all, I'm very happy to be with you today. This project has a very special place in my heart, and I'm very happy that we have the time today to invite your listeners to become involved. To invite your listeners to become involved with this beautiful book. So, as briefly as possible, like so many of the other fictional characters and stories that I've developed over my lifetime as an author and as a film producer, Andrew came out of the dream time. And this was almost 2 years ago I woke up one morning, and the book is set in a cadence and a style similar to a Dr. Seuss poem. So I woke up that morning a little over 2 years ago with this poem about this funny little reindeer going through my head, and it was like a playing on a loop, like you were listening to a tape machine, and it played on a loop in my head for the first few hours that I was awake that morning, and it wouldn't let me alone until I wrote it down on paper.
Wow.
And so once I put down the little story on paper, then it was, you know, my mind was back in my possession, and the little song, finished itself. So that, both of you, with the different interviews that we've done over the last few years, you know what my schedule is like. So as touching and as sweet as that, basically that poem was that morning, I didn't really see any other application to it or for it. And so it went into one of my desk drawers for several years.
Oh, poor Andrew.
But as a film producer, one of the things that you are always watching for is what I will call the necessary ingredients to put together any project. And on a book, with one such as this, you need really the right artist. And so in spring of this year, 2009, the right team of people came together. We were able to work directly with Gary Lund. He's worked with our film company on several projects. But Gary is a wonderful, most incredible, big-hearted artist that you've ever met in your life. He was trained at Juilliard. But his ability to take a concept, and I could just read him the poem, and it came to life in his mind of who Andrew was and the entire story. So all of that began to happen in the early part of this year. But a very unusual thing also happened, and that is my companion of 18 years, Jan Kleiss, on one of my many trips to Europe, she was working with the manuscript for the poem, thinking about the book. And when she realized that there were missing, we can say, in the story itself, that there were, in her opinion, missing sequences. I'm so sorry, my voice. There were missing sequences in the storyline. So Jan began to work, and she knew how devoted I was to this project. And so she began to work, and in a, surprising both of us in some way, but then developed what we can think maybe 20% of the story that Jan developed and wrote in a very almost perfect cadence, the same style as the original dream poem had been. And so at the end, the entire story of Andrew's Wish was finished. And for the first time on any of my books, I'm working with a co-author.
Wow, congratulations to Jan, too.
Yes, because it was it took really a vision, her own vision that she combined with the vision that first came out of the dream time, because she knows how protective I am of my materials, like any artist. In fact, when I came back from Europe, and as beautiful as is what she had created at first, I had a little bit of an artistic reaction, we can say. and I laughed with her, and I said, but how would Leonardo have felt if someone had come in and added just one little thing to Mona Lisa? And as beautiful as that could be. But anyway, in a playful way and really in a loving way, after I overcame my artistic reaction to her contribution, once I could really sit with an open mind and an open heart and read what she had created, I saw that it really perfectly complemented the story. And so that's what I told her. I says, you have to be patient, because I have to see, to go forward with devotion to this project, I have to see that what happened is really, wonderful. And in the end, I could do that.
Well, Andrew's Wish comes with a companion CD, which offers the text of the book narrated by Kelsey Grammer. How did Kelsey become involved with the book?
Well, actually, we have known Kelsey for several years now, both as a friend, and we are in a private way discussing some other projects that we could possibly develop together, Kelsey and his wife, Camille. But when we finished with the text of the poem, having heard Kelsey sit with us several times and read something or speak really from his heart in a way that you don't often hear him do with his characters on television. But this man has such an incredible heart. And so once I, again, as a producer, as we began to look at the book, and I said to Jan, I said, we have a friend here that has one of the most distinctive, beautiful, classic recording voices of our generation. And so, maybe he's part of our team. And so we went to Kelsey with the poem, basically. And he looked at it, and he thought, basically, in his own words, he said, this is so charming. What can I do to help you? So we went into a little studio in Malibu near his home, and in just a few hours, we did something that all of us, we were so happy with. And his voice brings such, in my opinion, as beautiful as the artwork and the story itself, his reading of the story opens a door into Andrew's world that really invites us from the heart to go on this adventure with Andrew. And so I think with Kelsey's recording, then that was the perfect package came together. The artwork, the story itself, and then Kelsey's recording, and all three things complement each other in such a beautiful way.
Well, I have a little clip that we can share with our listeners so they could see how charming it is.
Elfed. Andrew was so happy. All the gifts had found their way that at first he did not notice the gift he'd received that day. Then, as the elves all shouted, "Andrew!" he smiled as he realized for the very first time he loved his name. And he laughed until he cried. For now, as his name was called, he heard a magical ring, a wonderful and glorious sound that made his big heart sing. Andrew had never expected, not once had it entered his mind, that by wanting to give, he would receive this gift for being so kind.
Well, that's so charming.
Oh,
his voice is just unbelievable. I mean, I know his voice from his characters that he's played, but in this, it's just perfect.
Your wish literally has been granted with having everyone compliment each other and surround you with what was needed when you had to get it done. It's amazing.
No, this is what I mean, that it, in some way there's a magic around this book, and it is as if Andrew has a life of his own, and almost as if he's on a mission. Because hidden within the story, and it's a very beautiful and entertaining story in itself, but hidden in there are some very important messages for children and families in general. And those involve the actions of Andrew, because when Andrew wakes up, having overslept on Christmas Eve, and he wakes up having Santa already departed and realizes that a box of gifts have been left behind, he springs into action. And the elements in here are his kindness. There's a message in here to children, because often in life we see a situation, we see a problem, we see someone that needs help, and we hesitate and we think that someone else will be the one that gives that help and that someone else is more qualified to do that than we are. But Andrew sees and he identifies what he can do. He identifies, we can again, like I did, the team players, that he needs the elves working with Santa to help him make his wish come true. But the message to children is the kindness. We are in front of a generation, I'm so sorry to say, that has become very self-involved. And as parents, we did not mean for this to happen. We did not want this to happen by giving our children all of these wonderful toys, all that they have in front of them. We did not intend for it to lead them into such a self-involved and such a selfish behavior that we are often not attentive to the needs of others. So this is really the most important message of Andrew's wish of this book, is his immediate identification of the needs of others and of his kindness and thoughtfulness to those needs, that he immediately springs into action. And here is really, I think, is such an important message to many families with young children. Because Andrew, in the beginning of the story, he was facing, and this is why it was so perfect, the clip that you selected from Kelsey's recording, because it speaks in there about the moment when Andrew falls in love with his name. Now, this is just a symbol, because it can be anything for a child. They cannot like how tall they are, how short they are, or how the color of their hair, the fact that they have an older brother. It can be anything that is creating a problem in the child's life. And for Andrew, it was his name. And so the story takes us through, we can say, a character arc where Andrew, through his kindness and generosity, has an opportunity to have a healing around this issue. And so he, in the end, he falls in love with his name. And I think this philosophy and this concept is so important to families with young children, is to help them not be so focused 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on what they consider their problem, where they can become so fascinated and so fixated on what they think is wrong with their life that it becomes worse and worse. And here's an opportunity, an example that mothers and fathers can begin to introduce into their children's lives, little opportunities to be thoughtful of others, for a moment to stop thinking about your problem and think, you know, what kindness and what goodness that you can contribute to someone else. And there, I think, is one of the reasons that Andrew came to life, is that message is so important to the generation that's being formed right now in our society.
Well, in the back of your book, it says ages. I think it says age from 5 to adult.
Yes.
So as you're talking about the message, this is important for the adults who are reading it too.
Absolutely, because this is, we say, like you hear so many times, there's a child still living in all of us. So this message, the book that we created, I mean, of course, it's primarily a children's book, but it is such a wonderful story that it involves all the family, and it can be an opportunity because, once again, in our modern age, with everything that we're all involved, how active our children are, how exhausted the mother and father are at the end of their work day, families need every opportunity to have a moment of refocusing, to remember that they are a family. And so when we say 5 and up, okay, yes, the target audience is perhaps between 5 and 12. But the real story of kindness and compassion for others is absolutely something that we need to hear again and again, even when we become adults.
And the families that are so busy today, I hope that they take time to read to their children.
Mm. Yes. Well, there's a CD here too.
Yes, and this is to be a little playful. There's a movie that's currently playing, Where the Wild Things Are, and this was a very favorite book of my son's when he was small. And we read him this book so many hundreds of times that his mother actually recorded it on an audio cassette, and so she could just play the cassette for him. And the wonderful thing is that, unfortunately, my wife passed away from cancer many years ago, and so this recording of his mother's voice has become a treasure for my son.
Oh, what a wonderful side story.
Let's back to the important qualities that Andrew embodies as he carries out his plans to help the children. Once families read the book together, how can they help to bring these qualities to life in their own families?
Well, this is what I was saying earlier, is for mothers and fathers. I mean, you know each of the personalities of your children. And to look for little opportunities, we can say little, they can be significant, but look for opportunities where you help direct their attention to the needs of others and then give them some opportunity to be involved in that. And of course, when they're a small child, when it's, 3 years old, it can be, to help you carry a cup or something to the kitchen off of the table to help them be responsible for the things that are happening in the family's house. But as they get older, it can be a number of things. It can be involving them in charities. I've seen so many wonderful programs in recent years where the children will actually be the one to create foundations. They will be the one to create charities, such as the young brother and sister, I believe they're somewhere in the Midwest, that began a frozen turkey drive. Do you remember the story about these two?
Yes.
It was a national story. And they started locally, and I believe the first year they 50 turkeys. Well, it's now in the tens of thousands of turkeys, and it's now a national event that these two basically preteens, implemented.
I know my a friend of mine, she has her two teenage children involved, and I thought, I've complimented her. I said, what a wonderful thing to have your children involved in, because they'll remember it the rest of their lives, what they did.
Absolutely. I remember, we have many examples of this, but I remember a very touching interview with Teddy Kennedy months before he died, talking about his mother, about when his mother died. And he said it was his mother that gave all of them. She said, you will never, to the family, of course, the Kennedy children, that you will never need for anything. But now, show us who you are by turning your attention to the ones who will always have needs.
Now, you're thinking about putting this book and developing it as an animation?
Yes, the colors are so beautiful, and the story is such a sweet story. Not everything that that you can publish as a book, lends itself to film or to animation. But we have so many people's opinions that this is really a wonderful opportunity to involve some very well-known voice talent in the way that has been very common in recent years with animated projects, that you still have very well-known actors lending their voice talent to those characters. So we are actually in the phase of pre-production at the time of developing a screenplay, developing all of the artwork that will be needed, and thinking about this as a television special for Christmas of 2011.
Well, talk about perfect timing. Because this is all, this is, because I don't know if the rage is the right word, but this is the rage for the famous people to come in and use their voices in animation. And so Andrew's coming in just at the right time, the right opportunity. This is perfect.
Yes, no, we're really excited, and we really think that this little reindeer has an opportunity to become part of the Christmas legend. I think he can be right up there with Rudolph in years to come.
Jason, I know you feel that this book has a life of its own, but if you had a wish this Christmas, what would your wish be for your new book?
Well, actually, thank you for asking about that, because what we've already started with, one of the other elements of the story of Andrew is looking at something that you would at first think is impossible. When he discovers this large big box sitting there with the toys left in it, he has no idea at that exact second what he can do about it or if he can do anything. So a large part of this story is about looking at what you would think is impossible and then doing something about it anyway. And so one of the things that we've already done, I sent two copies as a gift. I sent two copies as a gift to the Ronald McDonald House in San Francisco. And so my wish this Christmas, there are two organizations, I'm sure your listeners know of them, the Ronald McDonald Foundation, of all of the houses throughout the United States where the children are staying that are receiving medical treatment. And then combined is something in Los Angeles, the Starlight Foundation, that are also working with terminal children. So my wish for Andrew, for this book, this Christmas, is if there could be a little miracle, if someone can be listening that could contact our offices. As a donor, I would like to be able to place as many copies as necessary in all the Ronald McDonald houses throughout America, and in work directly with the Starlight Foundation, giving them 10% of all of our sales this year that they can use towards their projects with the children. So those two charity events, the Ronald McDonald, placing them with Ronald McDonald houses, and working in a direct way to benefit the Starlight. That's what's really in my heart this Christmas.
Now, if any of our listeners want to purchase a book, and even a signed copy, where could they get one?
Yes, we have an online site, and that is publishing. So www.jandjpublishing.com. Okay, that is our direct site where if they call us at our office number, 707-762-1566, at the time of their order on our website, if they will call our office and specify that they are requesting signed copies, then that can be possible. It is not possible directly through the website, but they can call the office and let us know that they have ordered books and that they would like those signed. The book is also available on Amazon at this time, but of course those are not signed editions.
Wow, I've known you for many years, and this is really a step in a direction that I didn't expect, but it's a wonderful direction.
Well, it's in a way, and as I'll try to share with you over the next few minutes, it is not such a direct, it might appear to be a deviation from the other things that we've discussed and the other things that you've known about me. But as a parent, I really know that the future of our generation is in the hands of the children. And so to bring them some indirect message of this work with Archangel Michael, that he is always... highlighted the compassion and the love and all of those aspects that really bring out of what it means to be a human being, of what qualifies us to say that we are a civilized human being. And so to bring this message down and to present it to children was really an honor for our little publishing company, to bring them something that inspires them to think in such a way about themselves and inspires them to bring those qualities to the surface of their daily behavior is something that's directly connected to all of the other work that I've been doing for over 20 years.
Well, it really inspires the entire family to work together.
Yes, because... To me, it is like the work that I'm currently doing that we will discuss in a little bit in Europe, where unfortunately, in some ways, because of the European culture being much, much older than the American culture, the family unit, for good or bad, is preserved in Europe in a different way than it is in America. And so to once again bring back in front of the American people the importance, what it means. A family is not only five or six people that are sharing a house. That is, have the same last name. That is not what qualifies us to call ourselves a family. A family is the loving connection of our heart to each other. And when that love and kindness connects our hearts, then we are really a family. And so this book, Andrew in His Own Way, is really indicating the importance of those qualities, but doing it in a way that's playful, that's entertaining, and that I always find that especially with children, it doesn't work so much with children to go so directly with the message, but if you can include it, incorporate it into something that's entertaining, then it goes in through an invisible subconscious process and often has a greater influence in their lives than if you try to sit there and talk to them directly about it for several hours.
Well, thanks.
You know, it's really interesting. My daughter, for a long time, she really didn't like her name. And I thought, wow, I know her name didn't exactly correlate with when she was born. But however, I love the name, so I gave it to her. And she just came back recently, and she asked, and she let me know that she's, wow, I really like my name now. And that's like 42 years later. And I thought, wow, you know, I thought, wow, what created this? But, you know, I see her working with her children, and she just adores them. And she is such a great mom. And it's just like maybe she's just fell in love with her name, you know, like she likes who she is. And, you know, it's so exciting. And when she told me this, Jason, I thought, oh, man, I'm so thankful that she loves her name because I love her name, too.
That's wonderful.
Well, I think you hit something on the nail on the head, Taz, when you said when you begin to like yourself and like what you're doing with your life, your name just fits in, and that goes along with Andrew's wish.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think there are a lot of people out there like that. You hear people, well, I never liked my name, da-da-da-da-da, you know, but maybe that's the reason, you know?
Really, because, of course, our name is only, we can say, a reference to who we are, but it is the word that the world connects to us. So if we're in a struggle against our own identity, we're never really, really at home. And when we can think of, I mean, to me, a nation is only as great as the individual families that comprise that nation. But the same we can say for a family. Let's say a family is five members. That family is only as well and only as happy and healthy as each of the five members are healthy. A mother just can't hold the family together. A father or one of the children, we see many times with parents that aren't, you know, with drug and alcohol problems, one of the older children tries to hold the family together. But one person in the family cannot recreate the family. It takes all five of those people loving and respecting each other to really accomplish what God wants us to call family.
And we have that opportunity coming up right now to reunite with our families on Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Well, as 2010 approaches, I just found out that you are preparing the Elders Calendar. Where can the listeners find this calendar, and what's it all about?
Well, let me be as brief as we can about this. In all of the years of the work, and reminding your listeners that may be with us for the first time today, this work, my work with Archangel Michael, began in Geneva, Switzerland in August of 1990. Over those next few years, I began to hear about something called the Elders of the Ouroboric Grid. And they are 24 elders. We can find them in several of the sacred literatures of the world. In the Bible, they're in the book of Genesis, where it only calls them the elders, the 24 elders that God gave to the care of the earth before humanity or any of the rest of us ever arrived. So during the years of the work with Michael, he has given me an understanding of who and what the 24 elders are, that they are in 12 pairs, and each of the 12 pairs have a very significant influence in each of the 12 solar months of our year. But even more than that, the 24 elders and the four archangels, Michael, Raphael, Gabriel, and Uriel, they combine together, making a total of 28, and they combine together in a sequential pattern that rotates like a wheel turning, if we can use that image. And they bring each one of those 28 beings, the 24 elders and the four archangels, each one of those 28 bring a specific blessing into each day. Now, I've worked with what we can call this calendar now for 4 years, and both of you, it is so amazing, because qualities such as harmony, inspiration, beauty, they circulate through the year. In each month, there is a day when one of those qualities is highlighted. And as I began to work with this calendar, it is just unbelievable. You wouldn't believe it unless you start to see it for yourself, how those qualities show up during that day. So anyway, I know this is a rather mysterious explanation. I have several websites that for the various works that we're doing. On this website, different than our publishing that I gave you before, but on the website for the Fleur Angelique, that you will be able to go on there, www.fleursangelique.com. And you will be able to go to that website, fleursangelique.com, and there you will be able to find information about the Elder's Calendar. I publish it. It is available the first week of January for 2010. And there it will show all of the significant, not only the daily inspirations that are coming from those beings, but we are moving now very steadily towards what Mikael has called the arrival of the new earth. And there is all this fascination and speculation around the year 2012. But Mikael is beginning to explain all is not concluded on December 21st, 2012. That we are on a gradual, we can think a stairway that is leading up to specific changes that are taking place on the planet. And so as in the year of 2010, at different intervals through the year, there are what Mikael calls an opening of the octave of one of the four elements. It can be fire, it can be water, it can be earth, it can be air. And it means that there is an energetic upgrade. We are hearing so much about the frequency increase of planet Earth that we have moved in these years from 7.7, we are now close to 7, we are now close to 12 hertz. We went from 7 hertz, seven rotations per second of the Earth vibration, and now we are over 12 per second. 12 hertz is now the Earth signature. So we are moving up this gradual harmonic increase, and Mikael shows us here exactly which days of the year those vibratory increases occur and in which element, whether it's water, air, earth, or fire, which element they occurred in on that day. So it's a very, very fascinating piece of information. I send it out both as a printed calendar, and I also send it out as an electronic download. So if people will contact that website, then that calendar will become available here towards the end of December.
And would you give the website again, please?
Yes, that is the Fleurs Angelique website, and that is www.fleursangelique.com.
You know, Taz, we'll have it on our website if people didn't have a pen or a pencil at this time. We'll put it up with Jason's name on our website TazandPaulaShow.com. So you've been involved in some teachings with Michael in Europe. Could you give us a little update on that?
Yes. As most of your listeners that have heard me before, they've heard me explain that in this basically 20-year body of work with Archangel Michael, that as strange as it may sound to some of your listeners, that he guides every aspect of this work, and in particular, he specifies the cities of where I go and present what we are calling the seminars, these two-day presentations of the information that Michael is wanting me to deliver to the Earth during the transition years. Okay, that when he brings me to those specific cities, then he will say, here in this city, such as Barcelona or Paris, London, Amsterdam, here in this city, we will be presenting this particular information. So during the past 3 years in particular, I've been working exclusively in Italy, and only a little bit of continuing work in Switzerland. And there is something called, that many of your listeners may know, there is an electronic grid system that encircles the Earth, and various names have been given, and they are called, in general, the ley lines. They are energetic, straight lines of energy that encircle the Earth, involved in a variety of geometric shapes and angular. When they come and intersect each other, they can create many different geometric patterns and influences on the Earth. Well, there is one of the most dynamic in the world called the Michael ley line. It begins at the southern point, the most southern point of the Michael Skellig, and a little tiny island coming off of Ireland at the tip of the UK, and it comes as a straight line, like you would lay a ruler on the map, and you would come down a straight line from that point at the bottom of Ireland all the way down to Cairo, to the Great Pyramid in Cairo. And that line of energy enters the Great Pyramid on the northern side. That entire line is called the Michael or the Michael ley line of energy. Most of that, the largest area on the Earth that line actually moves through is Italy. And so the work that I have been doing is working in a variety of cities that are directly positioned along that line of energy. And the work that we have been doing, the seminars, the prayer work that hundreds of people are involved in is working directly with the energy that is recorded in that line of the Earth and allowing it to radiate out to have a larger body of influence, we can say, as if it is a reserve of energy that God has placed there. And so the activation work that we are doing is allowing that energy, that reserved energy that is crystallized there, to become fluid and to start to move out into the energetic systems of the Earth and begin to bring what we can call the blessing that it's capable to bring.
Does it work like when you throw a stone into a pond and the rings come out?
Correct. It circles out in larger and larger, ever widening patterns. To where I explain to people, if we have 50 people sitting in that room, and it's not only about the information from Michael, it's a direct energetic experience that we have. We are in their presence for 2 days. And so the blessings that radiate into the physical bodies of the people in that room, they become charged, we can say, with those divine energies. They become radiant with those energies. And during their daily activity over the next months, they radiate out those blessings. So if we had 50 people in the room, and over the next few months, they each in some way touch or radiate their blessings to 100 other, all of a sudden we had 50,000. So we go and, you know, and so it's a way that we can radiate through working directly with Mikael that he brings specifically into our awareness. It is not work that Jason Lean creates, that I put together the format and the itinerary. It is all directly given to me, and I implement as a messenger. I implement the work in front of these various groups in Europe. But it's really something that we're doing as a blessing for all of the humanity. It's moving out and moving through the natural, we can say, the conveyance systems, the energetic transportation systems through the earth itself. And the work that we are doing there in Central Europe is actually coming out and having an influence at the global level.
So even when you come home to the Bay Area, you have that energy within you. And
yes, correct. And it's it's a way, it's a funny little symbol that I've used in my mind, but it's almost like a cross-pollination. Yes, I have in these years. I've done a large variety of work also in America. But when Mikael directs me to these different cities, I do not question the significance or the importance. But I am, I will be returning within 2010. I will begin to present again in several U.S. cities some of this work, so people do not have to think that they must come all the way to Europe to participate in this. But they can contact our website, the Flor Angelique website, and they can find out through the summer of 2010 any U.S. locations where I will be offering work here.
So does it amaze you when he tells you what city or town you're supposed to be teaching in, how it all comes together so easily?
You can't believe how this happens. I will hear about a city and I do not know anybody. And often within the next few days, it can be in a variety of ways. It can be an email of someone talking to me about a completely different subject. And let's say that I hear I'm about ready to go to Barcelona. A friend of mine says, "Oh, my cousin is visiting me from Barcelona, and we were just speaking about you, and she said if you ever need a place to stay when you're in Barcelona, here's her address." And so really, when Mikael develops a plan, it comes together very quickly.
I know. I've seen it happening with you before, and it just is amazing.
Well, this little story of Andrew's wish is really a classic example of this. And I know, and I really don't want, and I hope they can hear in my voice, I'm not here today to sell a product. I'm not here today only because I'm the author. But I'm here today representing this book that really has a very magical, the colors that the artist selected, that Jan worked very, very hard to get, because in the modern printing experience, many of your listeners may know, when an artist creates and designs a book, when it goes through the printing process, that is not necessarily the colors that that end up on the page. So Jan worked very closely with the printers in Singapore and maintaining the colors as closely as possible to the originals, because they have an emotional quality. This book is so uplifting, and it accomplishes that not only in the message, in the text itself, and in the recording by Kelsey, but in the graphic visuals and the color scheme when you spend a few minutes with this book, you come away smiling. It has that effect on everybody.
I know the colors are just, I mean, you have to see it, because the colors, just seeing the colors uplift you.
Well, there's no borders in this book. It's like you're going through space and time with it. There are no borders.
Yes, we conceptually, the artist first brought us that concept. And he said, I want it to go to the end of the pages. I want, when you're in that page, I want it to be that you're in that world. And just like when you're in a film, when the lights go out and you're in the theater, what the producer and the director hope to accomplish is that in the first few minutes is that you forget that you're sitting in a theater. And so it's the same thing that we wanted to do. When you look at this book, we wanted you to forget that you're reading a book. We wanted you to really go into Andrew's world.
Well, you've got some other books that are about ready to come to be published. Two or three, right?
Well, we are working very specifically now. I can't tell you that it's close, but I am finally in the process of, we can say, it will be the classic edition of my 20-year work with Mikael, and it will be entitled Voice of the Comforter. And we are beginning now to compile thousands and thousands of pages of information over those 20 years, organize them into specific thematic, like, chapters. But I'm very excited about this. It's really the entire message that he's given me in the 20 years will all be available in one edition.
Will that help people understand 2012?
Absolutely. Because we must be very, very careful here. In recent years, Mikael has been over and over again speaking to each of us and saying, above all else, do not let anyone or anything determine or define who you are or what you are capable of. And it is including the situation with 2012. All of that I've received in these years regarding this huge event, Mikael leaves us feeling so capable. This is not the end of humanity. This is not what they're telling us in this film that's now in all the theaters.
I know,
as entertaining and as, you know, captivating as those images are of everything falling apart, in the end, it only leaves people nervous. It leaves them frightened. It leaves them fearful. And it's not the position that we need to take as we face all of these great opportunities. Mikael says there is not one mind on the earth at this moment that can truly understand the event that is in front of us. Now, that's not to frighten us, because God is watching. Our Creator, the one who gave us the earth in the first place, Mikael assures us, is in charge of this entire event, and it's not coming in any form or act of retribution on humanity. It's coming to open the door to the next phase of our adventure here, and it's something wonderful.
You know, it feels like it's a lot of love coming, and there's a lot of breakthroughs for everyone.
Yes.
And it's kind of discouraging to see where they make films where there's tragedy, and, you know, if everybody can just... You know.
Well, it's in the film world, it's an old model that I've argued against now for almost 20 years with my film company, and the model in the film world is called tension resolve, and that is you create a problem and you fix it, and you create a problem and you fix it, and it's like the rotation of a tire. And they think that it's an engine that has to drive every film. And I've argued against this, and I said some stories, they do not deserve or require an element of tension in order to tell an entertaining story. But obviously the producers on this project, you know, really went all out on the tension resolve theory. So let's hope... I haven't seen the film yet, so let's hope at the end that they resolved as much of it as possible.
Well, you talked about the frequency being higher now. I mean, it keeps going up. Do you believe that's for us to be able to be capable of more and to send out more love. And
yes, absolutely. And here again, this is in some, and I don't mean to be so self-serving about our new book, but to come back and to loop through again the story of Andrew and this compassion and this kindness, I personally believe that we are all capable now. That I believe that it takes really less of an effort to be kind and generous, thoughtful of someone than it does to be suspicious, fearful. That it's only about relaxing, taking a breath, and just starting with someone that you feel that way about. It's like using a muscle that we've never developed or we've never used. I'm sorry to make it so, you know, in such a physical way to describe the loving and the ability to love, but we spend our life far too often in a defense posture against life and in a fearful position, suspicious of what are the motivations. When you walk into a store, you smile at someone. Okay, sometimes you see a smile coming back, but often you see a look that is telling you, what do you want from me? Often the person, they have a choice too. They could smile back, but sometimes it's so foreign, that smile, and it's often used as a disguise for some other motivation that people don't trust that it's really sincere. And here is one of the greatest dangers that we're in as a humanity, is that when we spend more time mistrusting and being fearful of each other and forgetting what we all have in common, you know, no matter what color our skin, no matter what is our birth language, what we all have in common is that every mother and father want a warm and safe place for their children to sleep. We all want food that's fit for humans to consume. We all want these things for our families. And when we spend all of our day thinking about our differences, then we end up being suspicious of each other and fearful and judgmental, critical. But if when we turn our attention to what we all have in common, what life is really all about, then little by little and step by step, little miracles began to happen.
Well, the message that I got from Andrew was to begin with yourself, love yourself. And when that
happens, it's very similar to Michael Jackson's message of Man in the Mirror. You know, if you want to make a change, look in the mirror.
Uh-huh.
So yes, it's very similar to Andrew, because once again, I mean, instead of thinking, okay, here's the box, and he will leave it to somebody else to solve this problem, that each of us, if we just think, what can I contribute? And if nothing more, if we can contribute, see, we're often in the modern world, we are made to think that we must contribute something practical and something physical. Okay, the Bill Gates Foundation. We must do something in a very big and physical way in order for it to be beneficial for humanity. And I'm saying to every one of your listeners, to go through your day as all of us have problems, but to go through your day as relaxed as possible, as friendly as possible, remembering that God loves you as much as you can possibly remember, and to go through our day with a smile and approach life that person standing next to you is capable to become your new best friend, and not someone that's standing there ready to create a problem for you, where we enter into every new relation with a suspicion instead of an optimism of what we have discovered in our new friend.
What a wonderful message to leave to our listeners at the end of our interview. It's been perfect being with you today.
Yes, Jason.
Thank you both so much. And I really, to both of you and to all of your listeners, I want to send out my heartfelt wish for wonderful holidays. And God bless you all, and God bless both of you for all the wonderful work that you always do.
And thank you for allowing Mikhail to work through you.
Okay, so I hope we can do this again in the near future.
Well, you're one of our favorite guests, of course.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you.